at all.
We can ask Paul to start. Can read the opening soon. Thank you.
Good day and welcome to the Q3 2017 of Showroom Privé conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to send the conference over to Eric Petit. Please go ahead.
Okay. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining this call. Today, we have Thomas Kenzie, CFO of Showroom Privé, David Dayan, co-CEO of Showroom Privé, and me, Thierry Petit, co-CEO. We'd like to discuss with you our third quarter publication release today. First, we are satisfied to highlight our sustained growth of 28.2% to reach 134 million this quarter. This growth is driven both by France and our international operation, where we continued to benefit from a particularly strong growth momentum. During this quarter, we have also continued our strategic transformation, notably regarding our commercial and strategic partnership with Steinhoff. For memory, this partnership reinforced our home and decoration category while setting up a disruptive omnichannel offering. Conforama and Showroom Privé have already announced the rollout of Showroom Privé Click and Collect Point in 11 Conforama stores in France. This joint operation, amongst other proofs, the ability of Showroom Privé and Conforama teams to link up quickly logistic and commercial resources in a very short time frame. We have also continued to be commercially aggressive and to invest during the quarter in order to increase our business volume, reinforce our positions, and boost the engagement of our members. As a consequence, these investments, part of ongoing strategic transformation, are weighing on margins in the short term. In addition, we have to factor in higher than expected one-off increase in logistic costs relating to the increase in the inventory purchase made in the first half of the year. In this context, we update our revenue objective to circa 680 million, implying a growth of circa 28%. In parallel, we update our EBITDA objective, excluding Salut Privacy, now at circa 25 million. It has an EBITDA margin of circa 4%. Nonetheless, we remain highly confident and ambitious for the future. We operate in a solid market with numerous growth opportunities in France and in our international market from both customers and brand partner standpoint. The upcoming quarter will notably be supported by the execution of two major projects. First, the progressive rollout of the personalization of customer interfaces to improve user experience, optimize conversion rates, and customer loyalty. Then, the deployment of a major and innovative advertising campaign in Spain, Italy, Portugal, and Belgium to boost our international growth. We have a clear roadmap to reach our long-term objectives. Implementation of this strategic plan is decisive for sustainably strengthening the group's profiles and increasing the value creation in the medium. We just need more time and slightly more flexibility to execute our plan. As you know, size is critical in our industry, and margin improvement will mechanically come from growth and operating leverage. That's why we have to focus on growth in the short term. We have decided to favor the strengthening of business profile and growth with a long-term view rather than optimizing our short-term profitability. We are now open to your questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that's star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to ask their questions. We'll now take our first question from Nicolas Lanley from Exane. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. I've got four questions, please. The first one on the like-for-like in Q3, can you tell us exactly what was the figures for the Q3, and if we can have a split between France and international, it would be great. Second question, can you explain the bridge between the 25 million euro new EBITDA guidance and the previous 40 million euro? So we understand that there are one-off costs related to storage, but I guess that the 15 million euro difference is not only related to that. Third question, looking at your guidance, the 690 million euro sales guidance implies a 30% growth in Q4. If I exclude my M&A impact estimate of circa 8%, that implies a 22% like-for-like in Q4. What gives you confidence that the sales like-for-like can accelerate so much in Q4? And last question on sales deprivati, can you confirm that you expect €3 million losses at EBITDA level this year? Thank you.
Okay. Hi, Nicolas. Thank you for your question. So on your first question regarding the like-for-like growth, it's around 16% over the quarter. And the organic growth was supported both by France and international. We don't disclose, as you know, figures by geography on a quarterly basis, but what we can tell you is that international, I mean, the very positive momentum we have been talking about for a few months, it's confirmed, so we continue to grow strongly in our international operation, and France continue to be dynamic, but at a lower pace, of course, than international. Regarding the bridge between our previous guidance and this guidance, I think it's a combination of three things. First of all, the growth level in Q3 was lower than initially expected. So you know, we with the lower revenues, we have a lower absorption of fixed costs, so it has a mechanical impact on our EBITDA. Then there is also an impact at gross margin level because, as Thierry said, we decided to continue to be commercially aggressive and to invest especially in pricing in our international market, and it has an impact at the level of gross margin. And then the third point is, you know, as Thierry mentioned, we had higher logistic costs than expected due to the increase of firm purchases. We expected lower costs than what we had to incur in order to treat the strong increase in firm sales in the first half of the year, and this has also an impact in our logistic cost, where, you know, we will not be able to benefit from the same operating leverage than the year before.
Can you quantify the one-off cost, only the one-off cost related to the storage?
So to give you, if you want to isolate, you have the impact at gross margin level is approximately half of the impact. It's not only and the impact in terms of logistic cost and G&A explain the other part of the gap between our previous guidance and this guidance.
Okay, because the one-off cost in H1 for inventories, it was around €1.2 million. Should we expect roughly the same amount for the full year? Double the amount for the full year?
Yeah, it's much more than that because, you know, we continue to do firm purchases, so the impact it's actually higher than that.
Okay, but you don't want to quantify.
Yeah. In terms of then your third question was regarding the growth expected in Q4. So you know, if you look at our year-to-date performance, the year-to-date performance is at around 28% for the first 9 months of the year. So basically, to get to the 690, we need to achieve a level of growth of around 28%. So this is a level of growth which is similar to the one we reported this quarter, and we are confident to be able to achieve this level of growth for the rest of the year.
Okay, the M&A contribution will be much lower in Q4 as you started to integrate Sales Deprivati in Q4 last year, right?
We started to integrate them, in November. So, you know, the contribution is not that significant. You know, I think the contribution was only 8 million last year. So, you know, the impact is not that big from Sales Deprivati.
Okay. And how much sales do you expect from Cell Depriva in Q4 this year?
No, we don't give the breakdown by geography or by company. Okay, but you had a question on Cell Depriva regarding the amount of losses. So you mentioned three million. So you know we have no changes compared to what we said before. So it should be 3-4 million euros of EBITDA losses in line with what we said previously.
Okay, so it's 3-4 million euro losses.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all for me. Thank you.
We'll now take our next question from Charlie Musson from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Sorry, I was just laughing at my name. I've got a couple of questions, although many of the good ones have already been asked. So just working back on the maths of your organic growth in Q3, it kind of implies that the acquisition contribution to revenues was about 12.5 million in the quarter, which is down on 15 million in Q2, which was supposed to be a particularly challenging quarter. So whilst your organic growth has kind of reaccelerated, the contribution from acquisitions has actually slowed. I wondered if that's a temporary impact or whether you're having some problems in Saudi Privati. And then also on Saudi Privati, the 3-4 million EBITDA loss that you're anticipating this year, do you still anticipate reaching a break-even contribution from that business next year? And then thirdly, when you talk about your 2020 guidance, you know, it seems to me that some of those impacts you talked about in terms of the cuts to the this year's guidance are, in a way, to reach that revenue goal. So what gives you confidence that you'll be able to build the margin up to that 7.5% level when it seems to be increasingly difficult to maintain that growth? Thank you.
Okay, regarding the organic growth, as I said, the organic growth was 16%, so which means that the impact that the acquisition brought approximately 12 points of growth. And you mentioned around 12 million of revenue, so this is correct. I'm not sure I follow you regarding the contribution of acquisition in the second quarter or the first half of the year, but you know we are not seeing any particular deceleration. I mean, you know, talking about Beauté Privée, for instance, you know, it's actually quite the opposite. The company is significantly outperforming. So I'm not sure I can follow your comment regarding the impact in the first half of the year of the acquisition. Regarding Cell Depriva, yes, the objective is still to be break even next year. And you know, we did a lot of work in the first part of the year in order to migrate them on our platform. And now, since we have one website in Italy operated under the Cell Depriva name, fully integrated with our platform, you know, we are in a position to deliver revenue and cost synergy. So, you know, this remains the plan, and this is why we invested a lot of time in terms of resources during the first part of the year to accelerate the migration. And regarding the 2020 guidance, I think, you know, our view is, you know, we are at a stage where we need size matter. We have to continue to expand our business and also to boost the engagement of our members. We think that it's not necessarily in the short term the right moment for us to stop investing. So we think that, you know, with time and with scale, margin will increase and the long term numbers seems achievable for us.
Except the figures, in our vision, we really believe that our business model is very, very attractive. All the fundamentals of our business are here and change. From our brand partner standpoint, we remain an essential channel to sell their structural overstock, and then we create a lot of value with them in order to increase our awareness, for example. We keep offering them the same quality of service, media exposure, and our capacity to sell all volume in a discreet and efficient way. And on the other side, from our members' point of view, shopping experience remains very attractive. with a dynamic portfolio of brands, great deals every day, and the highest quality of service for the fashion industry. So even if our market has always been competitive, we are really confident for the future due to these fundamentals.
Understood. And one brief follow-up question, if I may. So you saw organically a similar reacceleration in the third quarter to that which third-party sources would suggest was experienced in the wider e-commerce market, and indeed the wider, let's say, apparel and soft lines markets in France. But that is coming at an increasing margin cost. So is it that competitive intensity to acquire and retain customers is getting tougher, or is it that you think you are exhausting the natural addressable market now of customers to find and convert? Did my question make sense?
Can you just repeat it to make sure we get your point?
So your revenue, your organic revenues, they accelerated from the second quarter, similar to the data we've seen in terms of the e-commerce market in France and the clothing market in France, for instance. However, to achieve that commensurate growth that the market saw, you are having to invest more in margin. Is that because competition is getting tougher, or do you think that it is you are getting towards finding all of the natural customers that you have and that you're running out of growth at the spend which you are putting in?
Yeah, as I explained, we really believe that our business model is very exciting, but as every mature market and as e-commerce market matures, growth may become more expensive, probably, but the good thing is that margin improvement in the future will come from scale and operating leverage and not from a reduction in marketing investment. So basically, for example, this year we have invested a lot in a new senior team in logistics, in a new IT team that will take, take profit of all this investment in the next few months, as we did in international. I remember 1.5 years ago, international was not growing so much, and we decided to put some people in order to be local, but you know, to be ready to do that and to achieve some turnover coming from the country, we need at least between 6 and 10 months in order to do good formation and to have the good people. And that it pays now. So we have to support this cost during 6-8 months without having the turnover in front of that. So.
Okay. Thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from Jean-Christophe Liobé from Exane. Please go ahead. Jean-Christophe, your line is open.
Good evening. Two questions on my side. First of all, and one question on the cumulative buyers, which are up roughly 2-3% in Q3, while they were up roughly 21% in H1. So could you explain us why it decelerated in Q3? And second question regarding the inventories, the 43 million euro of inventory purchase that you made in H1, how long do you believe it will wait on your inventories, and what is today the average length of life of your product in inventories in terms of turnover and the rotation of your inventories?
Okay. Regarding cumulative buyers, I think the growth is just a matter of basis. I think the 21% was compared to the number at the end of H1 2016. So, you know, with a one-year period, while the growth you mentioned was compared for this quarter was compared to the end of June 2017. So, you know, so you are comparing 3 months with 12 months. The second thing in terms of recruitment of new buyer, it's approximately it's between 0.2 and 0.3 million new buyers. It's in line with what we recruited last year. I mean, Q3 is not, it's always the lowest month in terms of recruitment of buyers, just because, you know, we are not spending heavily in marketing during the summer. And also because all the marketing campaigns, TV campaigns, radio campaigns, we have started them at the beginning of October in order to prepare the Christmas period. So,
and last year it was in September.
And last year it was at the end of September. So, but I think it's a matter of basis of comparison mostly. And regarding inventory purchase, we expect to significantly reduce our inventory during this fourth quarter. I mean, you know, we cannot say that the weather, we have not really entered into the winter season yet, looking at the weather in France and Europe, but yes, we expect some of the firm purchase we made to be translated into significant revenue in Q4, and this will help us to reduce our inventory and therefore also to reduce the level of storage cost.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take our next question from Anna Patrice. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, hello. I was probably a bit late to the conference call. Apologies, so I missed some information. Could you provide more details? You said that you want to support with marketing activities the developments internationally. So how much do you see the increase in terms of the marketing in absolute terms, please? What is your budget? That's first question. Second question, you said that Q3 top line wasn't as good. Was it in France that it wasn't as good? And do you have any explanation, any remarks of what has happened? A third question is, why do you still want to invest in pricing? My understanding was that you're quite happy where your price points were already. So why do you see the need to invest in pricing? What was wrong with your previous pricing position internationally? And when you're talking about this transformation, whatever it is, can you give more precise information? Because so far I haven't heard anything new compared to what you were talking about H1. You already that you want to invest more in the firm sales because you get a better traction with the new brands. You want to take opportunity of the market consolidation, et cetera, et cetera. What has changed between now and the first half-year results when you already downgraded the guidance? What is the incremental new things that you are doing or where you're spending and it has led to the profit warning?
Okay, so I will start and I will try not to miss any of your questions. So regarding marketing investment, I mean, you know, we have not disclosed any breakdown between France and international, but basically our view is, you know, we have a good dynamic in our international market and we will probably be better off continuing to invest in order to benefit from the positive momentum and from the good opportunity we see, rather than, you know, trying to reduce our marketing investment in the country at this stage. We are happy with all what we did with our international market. It took us time to get where we are, and we think that, you know, it's the right moment to invest and keep on investing. Regarding the reason for the revision of the guidance, as I said, it's like a combination of three things. First of all, it's because Q3 came at the low end of our revenue guidance, so we were expecting more revenue in Q3 than what we achieved. So mechanically, there is a gap in terms of revenue, and therefore it has an impact in terms of absorption of fixed costs. So that's the point number one. The point number two, and in relation with my comment regarding commercial aggressiveness and marketing investment, we have decided to continue to invest, and therefore it has some impact on gross margin. And the third point is regarding logistic costs. because you know we have underestimated the cost, the storage cost and treatment and handling cost related to the firm purchase we did in, especially in the first part of the year, and this generated extra cost because you know we had to hire interim people, we had to find a new storage capacity that we didn't necessarily have, and when you have to make to find capacity or resources in a short time frame, you don't optimize the cost, and it's what happened to us.
Sorry, but then how do you expect that the investors, I'm sorry to interrupt you, how do you expect investors to believe that you will be able to report improving margins and to reiterate your 2020 guidance? Well, in a period of, you know, less than 6 months, you decided, well, you completely changed on what you were saying. So you were initially saying that we are happy with the pricing, we have good traction. Yes, we're going to invest in marketing, but we're happy with the pricing. And then in the, you know, less than a few months, you decide to change it. So how investors should be confident that that should not be again the case, let's say, for the next year or for the year after, because you have good momentum internationally, and hence you will support this growth with further and further and further marketing activities. So why do you reiterate? Why do you reiterate 2020 targets? Why do you think there is confidence that you will achieve it?
I think, first of all, when we talk about pricing, it's more commercial aggressiveness. So effectively, we have not really reduced our price point. It's more that we have also decided to be more aggressive commercially with some suppliers to get access to some brands, which has an impact on margin in order also to attract new brands. I think, you know, the message is we think that we need to find the right balance between short term and long term. And in the short term, effectively, we are making decisions which are waiting on our profitability. And we recognize that, you know, it can be perceived as disappointing. On the other side, we think that, you know, it's with a long term view, it will help us to gain scale, and we are in a volume business, so you know, with scale and volume, this is how we will improve our margin in the medium term. So
have you seen in the past that whether it was that you were able to improve the pricing points with your suppliers? So have in the past you offered this aggressive pricing to get the suppliers and you were able to later on to get the better margins from them? How difficult or easy was it?
No, I mean, you know, every year it depends on the quantity of overstocks that are available. So, you know, the negotiation is different every year. I mean, you know, we are with our big suppliers. We are discussing about the results of the year, and you know, and we always adjust a few parameters in agreement with them in order, you know, to rethink about our partnership with them. So you know, this is part of the ongoing discussion we have with them. And you know, and price is a parameter, but we have also other criteria that enter into account to judge the equation with the suppliers.
Understood. And what are the one-off costs that you expect this year with Saudi privacy? How much do you expect this year?
Exactly.
Now we said between 3 and 4 million of losses for the year.
For Saudi privacy. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your time. So there is no more question.
We have an additional question, sorry, from Anthony Dubois from Exane. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen. If it's possible, can you give us a sense, it's a follow-up question regarding the recent change of strategy since the H1 17 and H2 17. Can you tell us, please, how does it go with Steinhoff in the relationship with them? Because as everybody knows, there was a transaction mid-year with them, with the economical exchange of equity at a much higher level. Now the strategy of the company is completely changing. How do they react, or what's their feeling following the recent warning you're doing tonight? What's the? Is there any comments from there, please? Thank you.
Yeah.
What we can say is that is David online. That first of all, you have to know that we have a long-term view with us, with them. Sorry. So for the moment, we are building something in a long-term vision. For sure, they would of course prefer our share price to be higher. But what matters for them is the value we will create together and where our share price will be in the medium term. So we launched several initiatives now with them, and the relation is very well.
And the first results of the first test we made with them are interesting. So
we'll give you a lot of information in some months, but you have to know that we are working very well with them, and we will provide you a lot of information. But I think for you, what is important that it's a long-term vision. They are with us. We are working with them in a day-to-day basis, and I think we will be happy in the future with the results.
We will now take our follow-up question from Nicolas Langley from Exane. Please go ahead.
Yes, and again, I've got two quick follow-up. First, to come back on the question on the lower than expected growth in Q3, can you explain why it was the case? Have you been able to identify the key reason? And second question, if I understand it well, the gross margin deterioration we had in H1, up around 240 basis points, is that something we should expect also for H2? So again, at least the 200 basis points gross margin deterioration.
Okay, I will start with the last one. So as I said, we have our revised guidance in terms of margin is 4% compared to 5.5% before, and I mentioned that the impact at gross margin level of the guidance revision is approximately half of the gap. So you have an impact of 0.75%. And then regarding Q3, the reality is that actually the commercial dynamism was stronger than what you can see from our state figure because in terms of business volumes the growth was at 35%. The thing is, you know, we don't recognize our revenue when the order is placed on the website. We recognize revenues when order is delivered to the final customers, and you know you have some delays between the two. So we have 10 million of revenues that were generated at the end of September that were not translated into revenue. So that also explain why the revenue are slightly lower than expected.
But it was already the case at the end of Q2, no? I think you had...
We always have cutoff. You're absolutely right. But the impact of the cutoff was stronger this year. So also because, you know, the performance at the end of September was stronger than the year before. So, you know, so basically the 28% growth was actually slightly, I mean, the real growth in terms of business volume was stronger than that. But despite that, it was still slightly below what we expected.
Okay. Okay, that's all for me. Thank you.
And we will take a follow-up question from Anna Patrice. Please go ahead.
Yes, there was a follow-up question on the Q4 top-line growth. So basically, you expect acceleration supported also by this extra 10 million that will be in Q4, bringing down, correcting the top-line growth. And what are the assumptions behind the acceleration in Q4? Do you expect that now France will be better performing than initially in Q2, Q3? Or what do you think should be the main growth drivers? And then another question, given that you should have significantly higher share of the firm sales that should support your gross margin, still expect significant deterioration of the gross margin how we should think about it.
So regarding Q4, I think we want to be conservative with our new guidance. So the figures we gave you is something that we think that we that will be that should be achieved, and this is the spirit. I mean, the growth level since the beginning of the year is approximately 28%. It's 28% over the past 9 months. It's 28% over Q3. So I think it's conservative to bet on the similar level of growth for the rest of the year, and this is what is reflected in our guidance. And then what was the other question you had another question on margin?
I'm surprised to see that you said that you continue to invest in the firm sales. So that would be a positive impact on the margins, and still you invest more and more and more, and you see further decline in margins.
In Q3, it's a period when we do a lot of specific events, especially in August, and with a lower margin than the rest of the year, because it's the end of the stock. When we will put in sale for first time a new stock, it will be in October, November, and so the margin will be much more higher.
The margin will be higher, yeah. But the thing is, given the fact that Q3 was lower than expected, and given the fact that also we are seeing more logistic costs than expected, I mean, what we have lost in terms of margin, we will not be able to fully recover it in Q4. But yes, we expect to have a higher margin in Q4, if it was your question.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
There are no further questions at this time, so I'd like to turn the conference back to our speakers for any additional closing remarks.
Thank you, everybody. Good evening.
Thank you. Bye.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.